Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. And today, we've got a special guest joining us, my friend Lloyd George, who is also my partner in crime with the Empowered Podcasting event. So we will be getting into that. We will be getting into social media. We will be getting into newsletters, all that good stuff. And if you don't mind, please share this with a fellow podcaster, whether you're listening live or listening via podcast. And give us about 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Good morning again, podcasting morning chat. My name is Mark Ronick, if you didn't already know. And today we are lucky to have Lloyd George joining us today. For those of you who have been listening to the podcasting morning chat for any decent period of time, you know that we've been talking about Lloyd a little bit because he has joined the Empowered Podcasting Conference Committee, the team. He's a partner in crime. He is become an integral part of what we are doing. So we want this community to get to know Lloyd better, and I think vice versa. We'll come to you in a moment, Lloyd. Actually, you know, I was debating how I want to handle this, and it just hit me now how I want to handle this. I have the icebreaker. It was inspired by something, Lloyd doesn't even know this, by something Lloyd shared yesterday on social media. And I think what I'll do is I'll just do it how I normally do it and go down the line of the moderators that are up here with the icebreaker. And then we'll dive into some more questions for Lloyd. Oh, and I'll say this before I say hello to you, Nick. I think some of the areas we're aiming to cover today with Lloyd, clearly it's going to be a bit about the Empowered Podcasting Conference. We're going to talk about social media growth, because those of us who know Lloyd knows we believe he does a kick-ass job at social media. Podcast newsletters, which I know Lloyd talks a lot about in his content. And we'll also talk about the Empowered Podcasting event. So lots to cover. Here is today's icebreaker. Good morning to you, Nick. When you're away from your usual recording space or environment, maybe you're on a trip, maybe you just moved, whatever it is, when you're away, do you continue to create content? And when I say create content, I mean that could be your podcast, it could be blogs, it could be social media, whatever is hitting you in this moment. And if you do, how do you adapt to keeping that content flowing? And if you don't, tell us a little bit more about that. So good morning, Nick. Go for it.
Hey, good morning. When it came to my podcast, I usually tried to manage my schedule a little bit more specifically to work around stuff like that. If it was interviews, I typically tried to make sure that I was scheduling interviews when I knew I was going to be at my studio location. And then when it came down to like actually editing and publishing and everything like that, I kind of worked around any trips or traveling just to avoid, because I mean, everyone knows editing takes a long time. So usually if we're gone, it's for something we want to relax, get away, kind of unplug for a little bit. So I don't want to spend hours editing a podcast episode while I'm away having fun. That said, from like content creation standpoint, I would like for social media, things like that, I would record and kind of take advantage of like the new setting, the new scenery, give the content a little bit fresher look. But again, unless it was a very simple edit, I would usually avoid doing any kind of editing while I was on the road, just again, time. So yeah, that's kind of an answer for you.
Yeah, I would say that's an answer. Yeah, thank you, Nick. And yeah, that's the idea here. I want to figure out, are people even making their content when they go away, or do they use that as a true vacation? And I also want to hear, you know, if you do, if you don't, and if you do really, you know, what's that process look like? 'Cause I don't know about you, but if I am out of my element, I am definitely thrown off. And having a plan in place is definitely helpful. So I'm going to keep this. Oh, go ahead, Nick.
I was just gonna say, I will say a lot of the content that I record social media wise, I do all from my phone anyway. So I always have my phone on me. Usually I just make sure I had a selfie stick, and then I usually have my DJI mic set up pretty much everywhere I go. So it makes the setting up and actually recording process pretty easy, no matter where I'm at. Just a matter of, do I feel ambitious enough to tackle it while I'm away?
Yeah, that's fair. And I appreciate the selfie stick reference. That's definitely something that I always travel with now. And it's one of those extendable ones that also turn into a tripod, so that this way I don't necessarily have to walk around holding the selfie stick. I could set it up and keep it stable. So yeah, I like that answer. Thank you. And we're going to keep this going and go to Lloyd. Lloyd George has joined us on stage. And Lloyd, you just recently, I know this, you just recently moved from LA across the country to Atlanta. And yesterday I saw, I think it was one of your Instagram stories, you were sharing that you were having a tough time getting back into the swing of creating content. So same question for you. You know, do well, obviously, your answer right now would probably be no, I haven't continued creating content, but I'll let you answer. Do you continue creating content when you are fresh off a move? And how do you adapt to keep your content flowing? Good morning, Lloyd.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. This is such an amazing group of creatives. So excited to be here with you all. I would say for me, moving from like relocating is probably the most challenging, just because I'm a person that needs like routine. And so it's like in my apartment, it's optimized to record very, very fast. And when you relocate, you don't have that. So it's like your camera isn't set up. There was a time where like I'd be recording outside, and so I don't know like what the angles are here. I don't know the best places to record yet. So it is a bit of a stumbling block relocating. I think for me though, where I thrive is kind of like on the move. So if I'm like on a vacation, or if I'm, in fact, I plan all my vacations and trips around like content. So if you invite me to Vegas or wherever, if I can't film, I'm probably not going to go. But if I can film, then it's like, oh, great. I can like repurpose this for other stuff. So it's a lot easier for me to film on the go. But definitely at home, I think for sure it's been a challenge. And I think too, when we don't film for long periods of time, in my mind, the roadblock to start filming just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually I'm just like, man, I'm never going to film. And it just becomes such a challenge. So I'm definitely in that phase of it now.
Yeah, thank you, Lloyd. That reminded me, that last part of your share, and it might have even been a live that you did. I can't remember. I just heard recently somebody saying, it might have been you, saying how it's kind of like going to the gym, right? It's like you talk about going and you have a lot of excuses why you don't. But once you get there and you start that routine and you start building that habit, then all of a sudden you're doing it all the time. Right?
1000%. It's like the barrier to start in our mind is so big, which is why it's so funny, which is why I feel like it's so important just to start, like to be able to break your recording into smaller chunks, just because I think it brings you a little closer to realizing that, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought, even though it certainly is in our minds. I would tie the like perfectionism, procrastination, overthinking our content kind of all in the same bucket, but I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Lloyd. All right, we're going to come back to you because we have more, way more to get to with you. So, Sid, good morning to you, sir. Same question for you. When you're away from your usual recording environment, do you continue creating content or do you take a break? And if you keep going, how do you adapt? Good morning, Sid.
Good morning, everybody. Lloyd, great to have you here with us today, by the way. So most of you know I travel quite frequently, and I do not record my podcast while I am on the road. That is always done in my office with my equipment so that it's better, it's easier. I do schedule recordings around when I'm going to be here versus being on the road. As it relates to other types of content, whether it's writing my article or that I write for my monthly magazine or, you know, newsletters or other things like that, videos, no, I do not record while I'm on the road. And don't ask me why, Mark, because I really don't know. It is a missed opportunity. I do know that. For example, last week when I was at the real estate event, I could have recorded a whole bunch of content, videos, all kinds of stuff about what I was learning. I did not. I think sometimes I just don't think about it and I just get wrapped up in what I'm doing. So I am not a very good content creator while I'm on the road.
Well, thank you, Sid. I appreciate that. And Lloyd, I'm going to come back to you based on Sid's response here. Because you mentioned when you're planning trips, you are planning content around that trip or those trips. What advice do you have for somebody who might realize those lost opportunities, you know, after the fact? How can we prepare better to make sure we don't miss those opportunities like Sid's talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think personally that being able to record on the go just opens up a lot more opportunities that probably wouldn't exist if you're recording in the same space. For example, oftentimes when I'm traveling, if let's just say I'm speaking at another conference, I normally email all of the brands that I work with or that have sponsored me at some point. And I say, hey, I'm going to be speaking at this conference. If I wore your hoodie, would you sponsor my flight or would you pay for my hotel or would you organize a dinner for some of my favorite creators? And so I think there's just a lot more opportunities to do things like that, to collaborate with brands, for an example. There's also just a lot more opportunities to include your podcast content. So for instance, I'm going on a vlog. I'm going to be going to LA next week and I'm going to be vlogging that trip. There are people that I've wanted to have on my podcast that I'm accidentally going to run into because we'll be at the same conference together. And so that's just an interesting opportunity. I've DM'd them and said like, hey, would you be down to sit at a coffee shop and make it look like we ran into each other and allow me to interview you for 5 to 7 minutes, which would be included in the vlog. And so that's just like, I think a dynamic and different way to still create some sort of like podcast interview content that can be integrated to your vlog as an example.
Awesome. Thanks. And Lloyd, what if you mentioned a minute ago that what you'll do is you'll reach out to the brands and sponsors that you've worked with. What advice would you give to a podcaster or a content creator that hasn't yet struck a deal with any brands or sponsors? Do they reach out anyway to some of the brands and sponsors that maybe they have their eye on and say, hey, here's a cool opportunity? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. 1000%. I think you're never too small to start. And in fact, there are a lot of scenarios where being a smaller creator actually works in your advantage. It's very similar to podcasting in the sense that if you're a podcaster with 100,000 downloads, as an example, I would consider you like a bigger podcaster. A lot of the people that are going to want to give you money are going to use what's called CPMs to determine how much they can pay you. But if you're a smaller podcaster, using a CPM basically means an amount per 1,000 downloads. If you're a smaller creator that gets less than 1,000 downloads, for instance, it's not worth your time. You can't use the CPM model to determine what to pay you. So what you're paid just ends up being overinflated just because you're small, and that works in your favor. So for someone like myself, I might say, you know what, I'll wear your hoodie for $250. That's a pretty high CPM given my size, versus maybe if I was a larger creator saying I have 100,000 followers, I still would probably end up being around the $300 or $400 range. So I think the smaller you are, the sooner you start, the more of an advantage you have.
Interesting, right? Because a lot of people who feel like they're the smaller ones feel like they're at such a disadvantage. But you're saying kind of the opposite. And quite frankly, you've kind of proven that in some ways, right, Lloyd?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I'm definitely like the ideal example of this that for context, and for those of you that may not know, every month I share my revenue goals that I've made from sponsorship just at the top of the month. And this last month was my highest month ever. I made $11,000 from brand deals and sponsorships. The amount and the size of a creator I would have to be if I was like a making that just from like podcast downloads or just as an influencer, I would have to be such a big creator to make that happen. And so I think the fact that I am smaller just allows the brand I'm working with to throw that out of the window. So when they're trying to calculate what to pay me, it's never based on downloads or followers because I'm not even big enough for that to even be a factor. I have 2,000 followers on Instagram. So it's just kind of like, well, I think this is what's fair for the work that you're doing.
Love it. Thank you, Lloyd. And all right, we're going to come back to Lloyd in a moment. And by the way, if you want to sign up for Lloyd's newsletter, I've just shared it here in the room on Clubhouse. I will make sure that's in the show notes as well. You can join his newsletter by just tapping on that link and signing up. I would highly recommend it. And Simona, I'm going to come to you back to the icebreaker. And before I do, I just want to give a shout out to Amanda Sharp, who has joined us. And we know that she's been busy and hasn't been able to join us as much lately. So Amanda, I'll quickly say good morning to you. Welcome back to the stage. Hope all is well.
Good morning. It is. And I was like, I have a couple extra minutes. I guess I'll go in for news. And I am so pleasantly excited to see
That's right.
Lloyd here instead. So it's so nice to hear and listen to you, Lloyd. And it's good to be in the room this morning.
Yes, we moved the news to yesterday in anticipation for Lloyd today. And Lloyd, just so you know, Amanda, not a fan of our newsrooms, even though they tend to be one of the more popular attended rooms. Just not Amanda's cup of tea. All right. So now, Simona, coming to you, and I am very curious of your answer to the icebreaker because you seemingly are always on the go. So when you're away from your usual recording environment, do you continue to create your content? And if so, how do you adapt to keeping that content flowing?
Good morning. I have been thinking about this question for 20 minutes because I hate creating content. I hate everything about it. I hate the planning of the content. I hate the filming of it. I hate the editing of it. And I know hate is a strong word, so maybe I'll just change it and I'll say I really dislike it. But I don't enjoy creating content at all. The easiest thing for me is doing stories. So like I'll go in my stories and I'll do that. I'm grateful that I have two podcasts. That is how I create content. My podcast is how I create content. And I know that, you know, might not be quote unquote enough or what have you, but that's literally it. I will record my podcast when I'm traveling. I have like a travel setup for my mic and all of that. And I just do it off my laptop and, you know, camera and whatever. And like, that's totally fine because I do travel so much and I'm gone all the time. So, yeah, so there's that. But when it comes to actually creating content, I wish that I could get over the block that I have with it. And I don't even know if it's a block. I don't know how to explain this. Before I even had a business, before I even had a podcast, I didn't like social media. I don't like anything about social media. So I don't enjoy creating content, but I wish that I did, because the stuff that's in my brain, like, I wish I could share with all of you, but I don't want to. Like, I don't want to.
So bad. So there. I don't want to.
I don't want to. You know what I mean? But I don't know how to explain it. Like, if I took the time to write a LinkedIn post, I know it would do well. I think I just, where my priorities are growing my business and growing the passive revenue side of my business and speaking on stages. And so you would think too that creating content definitely like leads into that. And it does, but the content that I create through my show seemingly is sufficient enough. So sometimes I'll put like a thing here and there, like an extra post here and there if I'm feeling inspired, which is like once a quarter. But you should ask my team how much they dislike this about me, because they're like, just go live. And I'm like, I literally cannot. So I don't know. I don't know if that's the right answer to this question, but there's something with it, you guys, that I just don't like.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's fair. And I want, Lloyd, I know I'm going to continue to put you on the hot seat, but you're the guest. So we're going to do that. And I'm curious if you would respond a bit to what Simona had to say. Specifically, what caught my attention were two things. One was it's all kind of linked together. She mentioned her podcast is her content. And she followed that by saying something along the lines of, and maybe that's not the best strategy. I'm curious your thoughts on that. Do you agree with that as far as it not being the best strategy, or disagree, and share your thoughts around that, please?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I would actually disagree with that, because I think the ideal way, I think, to go about social media, or at least the way that I think about it, is I think sometimes we kind of forget that social media, in some ways, I don't want to say it's a hobby or that it's creative, but I think it's very hard to be consistent at something that you're not passionate about or that doesn't come easy to you. And so I think you're probably more likely to only focus on one platform that is palatable, that you don't absolutely hate, like Simona. And I think that is an easy way to continue and be consistent and grow your business than maybe forcing yourself to do four things that are not, that don't come easy to you or that you don't enjoy. And so I think to Simona's point, I like the fact that you're self-aware about that. And I think personally, I've just wasted a lot of time trying to force myself to like Snapchat or YouTube or whatever I thought was going to help me grow my business. So I think it's actually cool to say, I like this and I don't like this, and I'm going to double down on what I love.
I want to add to this too, because I think that, like, I love that, first of all. And secondly, I think to myself often, like, if I didn't have the two businesses that I have and the stage of life that I'm in right now, maybe I would enjoy it a bit more if I felt like I had a bit more time or, you know, time freedom. But that's just not the reality of my life right now. And I don't know that it ever will be, you know?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Go ahead, Lloyd.
And Mark, just to add to that, you know, I think that's something I've been thinking about more and more, just this idea that I think we don't talk enough that if what we're trying to do actually works, then our podcasts and our social media accounts will go from just being a hobby that we can use to either for like enjoyment or fun, to this thing that is now very critically a big part of our business, either because we get enough leads and that's how we grow our business, or because that's just now how we make money. I remember last maybe like 2 years, there was a point in a month where I had gotten maybe like a few brand deals. I was still kind of new to it. And I remember waking up one day and I was like, man, I kind of have a headache. I don't feel that good. And that specific day I had to record content. And at first I thought like, man, I'm just not going to do this today. I'll do it. I'll push it back a little later. And it hit me that I literally could not push this work back, because it was tied to like a launch and a whole thing, and there would be repercussions. And that's kind of where it hit me that this is not like my hobby anymore. This is like my job, like how I make my living. And so it's just, I think that's something we don't talk enough about, that if your podcast actually grows, like you're planning on it growing, the role it'll play in your life will probably change.
Thanks, Lloyd. And some of the stuff that you and Simona are sharing, it reminds me, it's kind of convenient, I guess. I recently, just yesterday, posted a video about that Kermit the Frog puppet that you guys have heard me talk about or may have seen me share before. And the reason why I'm bringing this up and why it's reminding me to share it is because, yeah, sometimes, I wasn't enjoying making short form videos a couple of years ago. Just didn't like it. And I had plenty of experience with using the camera, being in front of the camera, and I just wasn't liking it. And it was reflecting in my content. I didn't think it was very good. And coincidentally, it's funny for me just to say that. When this puppet arrived at my doorstep, it did something for me in my content. I enjoyed playing with this so much. And as a full-grown adult, it felt kind of weird for me to just walk around the house using a puppet. So I said to myself, why not incorporate this into my content? Let's see if I can have some more fun. And that's exactly what it did for me. It allowed me to have fun, to play, which then allowed me to enjoy creating the content. And even the production of the content I was having fun with. Yeah, go ahead, Simona.
You know, as you're talking, I want to add in one more thing because I'm having so many realizations now that I'm like, you know, that I said this out loud. So if I look back to when I first started my business, I really took content creation way more seriously. Like I would create content. I was excited to create it and all that. And then over the last few years, I think just the way of like the world has gone and all that, me as a person, and we don't need to dive into this side of a conversation, but I'm just highlighting this. But me as a person, I have gained 30 pounds. I don't like myself on camera. I don't like filming B-roll of myself. Like I don't like any of that. And so I'm like, I'll just do it when. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of like all these excuses. So now I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, do I really hate it? Or do I really just don't like the way that I look in the content when I'm creating it? And I know it doesn't matter. And I would tell the same thing to my clients. Like it doesn't actually matter. But when it comes to prioritizing editing a podcast for a client or picking up my camera and shooting content for myself, I'm probably going to choose editing the client's content because that's the easier route,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thank you, Simona. Thank you for opening up and being brave enough to say that, right? Because, yeah, I think a lot of us don't even have that awareness. And the fact that you clicked with that and were willing to share it, I really appreciate that. So thank you. And I see Amanda wants to chime in. Go for it, Amanda.
Well, Nick had his hand up too, but Nick, I'm going to jump to line just real quick because I want to piggyback off what Simona said. I think for women, especially, Simona, everything that you just said is so relatable. And because we do gain weight, we do have bad hair days. We don't always want to put on our makeup. And so it is hard. And that's one of my favorite things that I've gotten past since I've been doing videos is I just show up how I am, and the world just has to deal with it. So I would definitely encourage anyone who can be brave to do that because it really makes the creative process so much better and more enjoyable.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And also thanks for calling out Nick because I totally skipped him. Nick, did you want to add something to the conversation?
Yeah, thanks. I wanted to add because we're talking about a lot of different kind of like blocks that would possibly prevent someone from creating. And I think one that has repeatedly got me down and I continue to kind of block myself with is the idea that I have to create content that has never been seen or done before or heard before. And I was listening or actually scrolling through some videos from Nathan Barry, he's the founder of ConvertKit, but he started a podcast called The Billion Dollar Creator. And he was talking about building your brand and being known for something. And the only way that you can do that is if you continually pound your message over and over and over again. And if you're so caught up in trying to come up with, okay, what do I create that I haven't created before? What do I say that I haven't said before? It's going to paralyze you. And you're not really going to be known for the thing that you want to be known for. because you're all over the place. So rather than thinking about what different stuff can I create, think of how do I say the same message in a different way and create content around that same thing repeatedly. And you have to remember social media people, majority of your followers, majority of people aren't going to even see your content anyway. So you continually repeating that same message, you're just going to get that message to more people that need to hear it. I just wanted to add that because that's constantly been a roadblock for me. It's like I'm thinking I have to create something totally new that I've never said before. And it's always just kind of.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. I feel that. I can relate to that. I get caught up in that too, where I feel like I've got to say something new. I've got to say something different because that's what's going to grab people's attention. That's what's going to make the difference between me and everybody else. And yeah, to your point, most of the time, most of the people who are following you don't even see that content. So it's important to get that message out there continuously. Lloyd, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, just wanted to add to that. I think too, you know, I think I get stuck in that rabbit hole too, just thinking, gosh, this needs to be the most dynamic content ever. And I think that part of what I've realized, about every 6 months, I survey my audience and just ask them why do you listen? Like, what did you listen about? Like what topics caught your attention? And it's been so interesting that every single time, the answer that always gets the most traction is, I really don't care what you talk about. I kind of like you. I kind of like your personality. I'd be here if you were talking about something else or cooking. And it just is a reminder that, similar to Nick, I think in those moments, I need to remind myself that it's less, people aren't here because your content is that dynamic. They're more here because you've been consistent. They've had a chance to realize your personality. They've maybe even had a chance to realize if they like you or not. And I think there are some of those soft intangibles that come from being consistent that I think are far more valuable than just like having the best possible content.
Love it. Thank you. And I see Jeff has joined us. He's got his hand up. I also see Yvonne has been up here and she's been commenting via emoji. So I want to get to both of them as well. And I still have a bunch of questions for Lloyd too. This has been a really awesome flow. So I'm just going with it. Jeff, good morning. What did you want to add?
Good morning, and nice to meet you, Lloyd. I jumped in late, so I'm looking forward to following up and learn more about you, bud. I just kind of wanted to echo what you just said, Mark, about a lot of times people maybe didn't even see some of your stuff. I deal with that a lot with some of my musical clients. Just Lloyd, for context, I live in Nashville. I'm a musician. I've worked at a pretty high level and I work with some younger artists kind of trying to shepherd them. And I will oftentimes suffer, you know, the fact that they feel like, oh, I've beaten this message to death. I can't say it again. I can't push my song again, blah, blah, blah. And what I will immediately do is address somebody that I know they love. You know, I've got this one girl that aspires to be Carrie Underwood, and will immediately go to Carrie Underwood's Instagram account and look at what she's done over the last week and look at, you know, which of these posts did you see and which of these posts did you not see? And it's always real easy to use that as a reminder of, oh my gosh, these are people that I actively follow. These are people that I love. These are people that I'm interested in. And I missed half their posts and I didn't see half their posts. So the next step being, well, if you love Carrie Underwood and you didn't see all of her posts, why do you think anybody saw all of yours? It's not that they don't care. It's just a reminder. And that exercise I go through a lot with a lot of people, just as a reminder that it's not personal, that it's not that people are ignoring you. It's just the way the algorithms work. No, you have not killed everybody with your content. So it's an important thing to always remind ourselves of again and again and again.
Totally agree with you, Jeff. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, it is important to keep reminding ourselves that this content, yes, it feels repetitive, and no, it's not repetitive. It's not being received repetitively. It's getting in front of different people all the time. Yvonne, I see you want to chime in. Go for it. Good morning.
Good morning. I have so much that's been said, so I'm going to try to stay on target here. First of all, Simona, I feel you about not enjoying making content for social media in particular. And I want to say thank you to Amanda Sharp, because when I first started coming into the podcasting morning room, Amanda was talking a lot about doing TikTok reels. And I was like, hell no, I hate doing that. The reason I do a podcast, which is audio only, is so I don't have to be on camera. And I'm a photographer, but I like to be on the other side of the camera. I was so not comfortable in front of the camera. What happened was one day on a Friday, I'd heard Amanda saying this enough, and I don't know, something was like, maybe I'll just do it for fun. And I made a reel doing a lip sync song to The Cure. And I was like, this has like almost nothing to do with my regular content. But I'm like, it's Friday afternoon. This is kind of like the music of my youth. I put a filter on so I didn't even look like myself. Like I had a nose ring and pink hair. And it ended up just being fun. And so then I did a few more like that. And I started getting into the rhythm of it. And I was like, well, that's just kind of fun. That may not be fun for you, Simona, but finding something that is, like Mark's puppet, like that kind of thing, so huge to be able to tap into it. And I was like, and the it got like way more views and reactions than anything I had ever done before. Mm-hmm. So instant reward, you know. And since then, I have been doing reels, and I do a lot of silliness, and I have found a way to make it tie into my message more than I did in the beginning. And I've stopped using those silly filters to hide myself, which is what I was doing because I didn't want to be on camera. And it's been amazing. And I have a question for Lloyd. So it's really weird. I have about 4,000 something followers on Instagram now. Most of what is happening there, it doesn't convert to anything for me. And I'd love to get these people over to my email list in some way, shape, or form so I have a little more control over being in touch with them. That is a stumbling block for me.
So, Lloyd? What are your thoughts?
Trying to unmute there.
That's okay.
Yvonne, thank you so much for sharing that. I resonate with that quite a bit. I think a lot of people, especially with the instability of our social platforms right now, are trying to get as many people over to email as possible. And so I found that, you know, there's a lot of ways to do this, and I have found that this is like the best way to continue to engage your most passionate followers. For me, some of the things that have worked have been kind of using stories as lead magnets. So for instance, when I share my goals at the beginning of the month, it's like, hey, here's how much money I made at the beginning of the month. If you're in the newsletter, I'm going to break down specifically what each brand paid me to make. And so if you want to see that, go ahead and subscribe. It's in my bio. And so that's one way, for instance, sort of like using your content as like small teasers. And I wouldn't do this with like every post per se, but just the opportunities where it can be, you know, authentic and organic. Another thing that's been working is I have this experiment where I have an account where the link in bio for that account is my email newsletter, but I don't post on that account. It's just there. I posted a few videos, maybe 3 months or 6 months ago. And even then it was just like one video. The only thing on that account is my link in bio. And I think with the way social media works now, your content is going to continuously be shown to people, even if it's a year old. And so with this email account, it has now almost just like 600 subscribers just from this like dormant account with this email list. And so I find it interesting that just those small things like saying you have a newsletter or using it as your link in bio or encouraging people in your stories to sign up, those small things that don't really feel like they make a difference continuously act as a reminder. It may take someone seeing your post about your newsletter six times before they decide, you know what, I will sign up. And so I think a lot of times those are the things that we negate and say, well, nobody's engaging or no one saw it, so it must not be working. But for sure, I think those small ways of encouraging people to join your newsletter definitely make a difference.
Thank you, Lloyd. It looks like, yep, Yvonne's given the thumbs up emoji. So I think that was helpful for her. Definitely helpful for me. And Walt, you had a question or comment. Go for it.
Yes. I've actually having some audio issues this morning, but Alexandra posted a question in the chat that I thought was really good. Do we touch
yeah,
on
let's,
that yet?
No, we haven't. Thank you for catching that.
Oh, yeah. So Alexandra, she asked a question for Lloyd. How do you decide what content to publish publicly or make exclusive for your podcast community members?
Oh, that's such a great, great, great question. So I think about, for me, when I think about content, I think about audience and community in context to like super fans. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with like Pat Flynn's ideology on super fans. And I don't know if he coined it, but I heard it from him. And the idea is it's better to have, I think it's either 1,000 people or 100 people that are willing to spend maybe $20 a month with you than it is to have 100,000 followers that aren't willing to spend any money with you. And so for me, it's kind of like, okay, I look at social media as just like a top of funnel way for people to discover who I am. That is like literally all it is. A step below that, if this is like a pyramid, a step below that would be, or a step above that rather, for me would be like, okay, these are the people that are interested in what I do. My niche is applicable to them. So maybe they want to start a podcast or maybe they want to grow a podcast, but they're still not quite ready to spend any money. And so those types of people, they might be in my like Instagram threads broadcast as an example. They're not quite in the newsletter, but they're in the threads broadcast. So if the information I would share publicly goes to everyone, the information I'm sharing in my like Instagram broadcast might be stuff that is a little more private. So like yesterday I shared, hey, I'm having trouble creating content. Like I'm feeling like I'm at a roadblock. I may be more vulnerable in some of those channels. I may be if I like run across an opportunity where someone is like, hey, we're doing a brand deal and we need a creator of this size, I'll post it in there, right? Because they're like a more intimate version of my fans. And then I'd say a step above that, like the last tier for me would be people that are in my newsletter. I'd say they get like the very, very best of me. And so if I'm sharing anything publicly, like how much I've made, my newsletter is where I'm going to break it down with sort of like no limitations. I view newsletters similar to podcasting in the sense that there's a certain boldness that you have when you're doing podcasting because no one's looking at your face. It's just audio. And oftentimes it doesn't feel like anyone's listening. And so I definitely feel like I can be a lot more vulnerable in my podcast. And that's how I feel about my newsletter as well. And so I sort of feel like, hey, if you're in this newsletter, you're going to get the very best of me. You're going to get the best content. If there's any opportunities that I feel like could help you monetarily, this is where I'm going to share them first. And that's sort of like how I think about it. In my mind, it's just trying to reward my super fans for being a super fan.
Thank you, Lloyd. I think that answers the question. And Walt, thank you again for monitoring the chat and bringing the questions here, and all moderators for that matter, please help me do that, because as I've shared before, I am not good in the chat. I was on a live with Lloyd last Friday, and I always admire this when I see people doing this, and Lloyd was one of them, you know, being able to have the conversation with me and still be able to stop, recognize people's comments in the chat, calling them out, and then getting right back into it. For me, that is quite the challenge. So thank you, Walt. And yes, I encourage the moderators, please bring it. But real quick, before I see there are more comments and questions, real quick, it would be terrible of me if I didn't mention the Empowered Podcasting Conference. We're like 40, 45 minutes in and haven't even talked about it yet. And so I want to First, this is directed at you listening right now. You asked for us to have an in-person get-together. And it's been 6 to 8 months of that, maybe even longer. And we now have tickets available. I believe I announced that on Monday. I don't believe anybody in this community has yet purchased their ticket. So I'm asking you, for the sake of the sanity of this committee who's working their butts off, I know there are many of you that are committed to coming because you have told me you can't wait and you're going to be there. I am asking you, take a minute when you can this week and get your tickets. I've shared the link here live. I'm sharing it in the show notes. And I want to go to Lloyd about the conference because, Lloyd, you came into this when we had already begun the planning, right? And it was a significant shift after you had reassessed your initial plans because you were thinking of putting on a conference. So what inspired the change in direction from doing your own thing to coming and joining what we're doing here?
Yeah. Firstly, I'm so happy that this community has welcomed me and everyone has been so kind and so like open arms. So I really appreciate that. I honestly was like praying that I would find someone else doing this. I just didn't think that was going to be possible. I've wanted to create and organize some sort of in-person podcast event for probably 2 years, and it's just really hard to do on your own. So when I connected with you guys, it just was like, it was such a joy that I found someone else that also was trying to do the same thing and create opportunities for us to gather as a community, just as lovers of like the podcast space and entrepreneurs. And so I didn't really care like how it happened, whether it was on my own with someone else or where it was. It just mattered to me that it happened. And so that was what initially drew me to collaborate with you guys. I also just want to highlight that, you know, I think creating community and being intentional about the quality of the community and creating an environment where people can feel comfortable to learn, feel comfortable to meet each other, feel comfortable networking is very important. And a lot of times it's very easy to feel like an outsider or an outcast at some of the larger conferences. And so I feel like this is just an awesome opportunity to create a space for us to gather and being intentional about some of those things, like making everyone feel welcomed, giving everyone a fair opportunity to grow their business and learn. And so I'm super glad that we decided to continue with this, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited about it. When you approached me, it felt like even before we had a full conversation, it felt like a no-brainer to me. And we had already gotten to know each other a little bit. So it felt really easy. And it has been really easy. Lloyd has just slipped right in and has really made a big impact on these plans. And Lloyd, I'm curious, how do you see, I mean, you've already contributed, but for the sake of the people listening here, how do you see yourself contributing to this event? And what are you most eager to bring to this community? You've talked about us welcoming you in so graciously. So what are you excited about bringing most?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a few things. I'd say the first two are just sort of like a meshing of communities. I think sometimes podcasting can feel very separated, either based on like what city you live in, if you're in the West Coast or East Coast, if you're based on the type of podcaster you are. And so I think this is just going to be a great opportunity to literally welcome all the different podcasters I know in my life, all the podcasters you know in your life into one room, which I think will be exciting. And then I think also just I'm often the person that's like overly critical when I'm at other conferences. So I'm always just like, wow, if I was doing this, I would do A, B, C, D, or I'd do this differently. And this is an opportunity to kind of, actually try to make that happen. And so I'm just excited to be intentional about bringing a conference to life the way that I would imagine it being done. And it's not like necessarily big things. It's just small things to me that I feel like make you feel considered by like a conference organizer, whether that's something as small as coffee or even something as small as just being intentional for and creating spaces for people to connect and meet one another, even if they're introverts. So just all of those small intricacies that you may realize personally when you're at other conferences, this is a great opportunity to try and solve those, I think.
Okay, so I have to ask you, Lloyd, share one thing that you see at other conferences that you're looking forward to doing differently at the Empowered Podcasting event in Charlotte at the end of June.
That is a great question. And I'm going to share two if you don't mind. I think the first is sometimes, and I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. It's just like a reality. Oftentimes, your ability to network with people at conferences is based on how important you appear. So for instance, there may be lots of private parties that take place at Podcast Movement, right? Whether it's for a large corporate brand or maybe it's for speakers or whatever it may be, right? And your ability to be in those rooms increases your likelihood of getting sponsorship, right? Some of the larger like brands that heavily invest in like podcast ads, right? They're often in those rooms, right? And so if you're in that room, that's like great. That's fantastic because you're closer to the opportunities that you came for. But if you're not in that room, it's considerably harder to meet people. It's considerably harder to network. And so those are just some of the things, in my opinion, that don't necessarily help indie podcasters or smaller podcasters. And so I think creating an environment where, you know, for instance, with our event like this year, there's one ticket, right? Everyone is the exact same, right? Everyone is going to be in one room, right? And so that is just one way we could be a little more inclusive about giving everyone the same access to opportunity, the same access to meet each other. And so that's something that I'm most excited about. I think the second is my biggest pet peeve. Like there's nothing that makes me angrier. If I go somewhere, anywhere, early in the morning, and I don't feel like there's free coffee, I instantly get irritated. And then if I find out that there's no decaf coffee, I get significantly more irritated. And so I think those are just, there's small opportunities like that to surprise and delight and just help people have a better morning.
I love it. I love it. And I forgive me, I didn't give you coffee when we started this morning. So there's my virtual coffee I'm giving you right now. Enjoy. I see Simona wants to chime in. Go for it, Simona.
I just want to highlight, Justice is asking in the chat, is there a list of workshops? So I just wanted to highlight because that's probably a question that a lot of people have. So we're in the planning phase right now of getting the schedule finalized. And so the speaker submissions close on Friday and the speakers will be chosen and contacted after April 1st. So once we have that, once we have all of the speakers and all of the speakers have confirmed their attendance, then we'll be able to release the agenda. So I just wanted to let you know that it is being worked on. But nonetheless, still feel free to grab your ticket to the event because it's going to be honestly amazing. And you should see the submissions that we've received are incredible. We actually have received so many, I think past the threshold that we thought and we were hoping for, which is amazing. So yeah, that feedback has been just awesome. So feel free to make sure you grab your ticket because the workshops will touch on all pieces. I'll pass it to you, Walt.
Yeah, curious if we could get an exclusive on what, you don't have to say the name, but one's topic that was submitted that you definitely would love to see at the event.
Ooh, that's go ahead, Simona.
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to. Okay, sorry. I think I jumped the gun on that one. there's honestly a few that have caught my eye. Some about storytelling and then creating funnels within your podcast, not just from a business point of view, but like how do you take your show and then create it in a way that serves you. Those have been some cool ones that I thought, but I think the storytelling, narrative style, different workshops have been really cool.
And Simona, just to add to that, I think podcasting is so unique in the sense that there are so many different types of podcasters, styles of podcasting. And so I think if you're an entrepreneur coming to this conference as a podcaster, I think you'll learn a lot. If you're also a creative that has a fictional podcast, it's been inspiring to see just how many different types of speakers have applied, just given like what their podcast is about or what their expertise is about. Everything from like true crime to entrepreneurship to podcast marketing, there's just so many different styles of content, I think.
Agreed. And I've shared the speaker application for anybody. And I want to say, yes, if you're a speaker and you're going to be joining us, you're going to get a one comped ticket. And I'll still ask, if you're planning on attending regardless, please purchase your ticket. I promise you, we will reimburse it if you are a speaker. So we want to make sure we know how many people are coming. And yes, we have a couple months, and it's important that we know sooner rather than later. Alex, you had something. Go for it.
Yeah, in terms of speakers, and I know that's always a big thing. Until we figure out the speakers, we can't figure out the tracks. And I know Dominic and the team that's doing that, it's important to get the tracks right, because we want people to go on a quote unquote podcast journey and go from point A to point B and get as much value as they can on a topic. Or, you know, if you're a beginning podcaster, hopefully by the end, you'll have enough tools that you'll feel a little bit more comfortable all the way. And I know something that you said, Mark, when you have gone to previous conferences, it's like you're expecting one thing from a talk, and it's just kind of the surface. And I think this group, we've got the people that are just learning how to use XYZ to the people that want something a little bit more in depth, and then a couple of niches in between. So there's going to hopefully be something for everything. And when it happens, when we schedule something and you want to get to two podcast things, that's just part of the deal. We purposely did that just to make you frustrated. Now, I'm saying that it happens sometimes. So, you know, we're the people that are trying to schedule these. It's not easy, but at the same time, the reason it's not easy is because of the fact that we've got a lot of great talks out there. So there's going to be a lot of must-sees in your mind, because there's just a lot of people putting their heart into it.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. Walt, and then we'll go to Jeff. And Lloyd, stand by, because I have one more question for you. Walt, go for it.
Oh, actually, I think I might have accidentally hit that.
Oh, okay. No problem. But Jeff, what did you have for us?
Just a couple things, and I'm going to keep it tight. One, I regret that I'm going to be on the road during the conference, playing shows. So that would be my excuse for not having bought a ticket, because I've already run the mileage and it's not even doable. Plus we've got gigs. I did, want to remind everybody, something that Lloyd said, a short while ago, was sometimes people have to see something six times before they pull the trigger. I don't remember exactly what you were referencing, but I just want to say that out loud as we talk about how people don't always see things. So even as we're talking about posting and sharing things and remembering that they don't see things, now we need them to see it six times. So that might mean posting it 30 times, so they see 20% of those, so they see all six to pull the trigger. And lastly, just reminding everybody that I am on the road with a country singer named Chris Cagle. So if you happen to know that we're in your backyard somewhere, don't hesitate to shoot off a flare. And with that in mind, Lloyd, I did just follow you on Instagram, and it looks like it's about an hour and a half away, but we are going to be in Gainesville, Georgia on Saturday. So if that happened to be near and you were just extremely bored, say hello. That's it. Thanks.
Nice. Love it. Thanks, Jeff. Alex, did you want to say something else?
Yeah, just about the content creation. You know, one of the best movies ever is Glengarry Glen Ross. And in the beginning of the movie, Alec Baldwin says something. He says, ABC, always be closing. Well, in this case, you know, and I know Amanda does this, always be creating content. And I need to say that to myself, because the more content you put out, the more engagement you get. And I know I am one of the most guilty people of that. But if you really want to get motivated, go watch that movie. It's the salesman's movie. And that's what we do. If you want to sell something, the number one person you got to sell is yourself. And whether it's your podcast or anything else, but ABC, that's what you got to think about.
Yep. Yep.
Coffee's for closers.
Coffee's for closers. ABC, always be closing. Yes. I'm with you on all of those. All right. So Lloyd, I'm going to throw out a completely different question, although it is social media related. And this is partially for Amanda Sharp as well on stage, because Amanda is quite the TikToker these days. Lloyd, your thoughts, your opinions on TikTok, if it were to go away, because that is the current threat right now, the government's trying to take that away. Are you concerned that we may lose TikTok, or do you think we'll actually lose it?
You know, I find myself going back and forth on where I stand on this. One thing I heard last week, and I don't always agree with everything Gary Vaynerchuk says, but one of the things he said is that, you know, there's, I think, over 1 billion monthly users, if I'm not mistaken. And if TikTok were to disappear, I think that attention and those eyeballs and that viewership would just either be divided across all the different platforms, or it would go somewhere else. Like, people aren't just going to be like, hey, I've been scrolling social media for 2 hours a day and now I'm just going to stop. There's nothing there. And so I think it's more important that we talk about, if this did happen, if TikTok was banned, what other platforms would we be interested in exploring, whether that be LinkedIn or Instagram or YouTube or wherever else? I think that's probably a more important question to ask. And so I'm not concerned about the ban from that perspective, because I think that attention would still be there, which would allow us to still market. A part of me does wonder too, TikTok, quite frankly, is just considerably unfair to creators and not that transparent. And so I do hope that in some ways this is a wake-up call. There's a union that is trying to formalize for creators, and they wrote an open letter to TikTok basically saying, hey, if you're not banned, these are some of the things that you could do that would really make us feel like you care about creators. One of the things in that letter, as an example, was to standardize how they pay creators. So if you are a podcaster that publishes on TikTok and your content does well, you should be paid 50% of whatever advertisers pay TikTok, similar to the way that YouTube does, as an example, and Facebook Reels. And so I think in those ways, I think this could be a good wake-up call for TikTok.
Thank you, Lloyd. I appreciate that perspective. And, you know, it's made me this whole threat of it going away. Not that I'm a big person on TikTok, but it's made me start to recognize the importance of diversifying our social media presence, making sure we are on other platforms, because if something like TikTok were to go away, people are going to naturally just flock to the other platforms, and you want to already be there and be established and easy to find. Do you agree?
I totally agree. And I think that this has also been a wake-up call for creators in that regard, because I know a lot of creators personally that their social media wasn't picking up on all platforms, but it did on TikTok, and they became a full-time content creator, but their only platform is TikTok. And so for a creator like that, this is like probably a really scary time. And so to your point, I think having an owned audience on LinkedIn or even your email newsletter, I think could be incredibly valuable. One thing I will add though is actually this is probably a combo for another day, but I think all platforms except TikTok now have a way for you to directly message your audience almost like they're an owned audience, but not quite like it. If you think about Instagram broadcast channels and LinkedIn newsletters, those, I think originally our concern was that if I post something, I want every single person that chooses to follow me to be able to see it. And because I can't do that, we're not considering it owned. And because I don't have their email, we're not considering it owned. But with some of these new features that these social platforms are adding on, that might be a great way to build our audience even more.
Love that. Thank you, Lloyd. I appreciate it and appreciate you being here this morning. And I hope, I know it's a little early, and I hope that you can come join us on stage a little more frequently.
No, I really appreciate the invite. As long as there's coffee here, I'll be here.
That's fair. That's fair. And yeah, so you will get to meet Lloyd in person this June, June 28th through the 30th at the Empowered Podcasting event. So please, another good reason to sign up, get that ticket now. And we look forward to having you there. I am super blessed and grateful to have people like Nick and Lloyd and Simona and Dominic and Sid and all the and Alex and all the rest that have graciously jumped in and really helping make this vision come to life. And I cannot wait to see it all come to fruition. And I can't wait to see you there. So, and in the meantime, I should say, we'll see you again tomorrow, as we do every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, live on Clubhouse, and 7 a.m. Pacific via podcast. So you can check us out either way, whatever works for you. We would love to have you be a part of this awesome community. We're back tomorrow, so until then, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.